This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Friday, so let's not waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Willie Ramirez. Willie, how are you?
Doing good.
Willie, Friday. Friday, man.
Everybody brags about Friday, Ross. They say, yeah, it's Friday. And you and I and a host of all of our colleagues, Friday means nothing.
Right? No, I mean,
Monday
for Fridays,
means nothing.
Exactly.
The Monday blues, the Friday this, the weekend. There's no such thing.
Well, Willie, top story on your site, which has been killing it with WNBA coverage. If the WNBA is public enemy number one, then bring the noise, ladies. You have a lot of interesting quotes, a lot of interesting things in this story. It's been such a fascinating start to the season. We thought that this would be an intriguing season. It's exceeded all of our expectations, I think, in terms of, you know, drama and storylines and things of that nature. Willie, if you could talk about your top story on the site and also kind of some of the response it has gotten so far.
So, yeah, I was going into this week trying to figure out what features I was going to look at. And I'm watching these games. I started looking at the records, you know, and based on the first couple of weeks and basically the entire month of May last year compared to this year, the parity is stronger. Outside the Washington Mystics and the Indiana Fever, I mean, we've seen some and Indiana's been competitive. I think Washington, you're playing them. I think you kind of know that you're going to get a win.
Yeah.
But the rest of the league the parity is incredible. And I think at any given time, you know, outside of Connecticut, we've seen that. I mean, Vegas has one loss going into Friday night's game against Atlanta, but the fact of the matter is they could have two losses. The Sparks came close to challenging them, but Phoenix probably should have won the season opening game. Mm-hmm. So I looked at it in writing about parity, and then all of a sudden, this narrative about, you know, just Natasha Cloud went off on a post-game press conference on the hatred around the league. I was asking about, has the rest of the league caught up to Vegas and New York? And she took it into where these narratives that they're trying to create, meaning the pundits, the critics, so on and so forth, in pitting people against one another. And so I went that route and I talked to, you know, you have – you know, Tosh giving Breanna Stewart her flowers. You have Asia Wilson giving Nafisa Collier her flowers. Fee talking back about Asia. Everybody's talking about each other once they get off the court. On the court, it's competitive. Mm-hmm. And then you have the social media fleas who are just, you know, nipping at everything that they can to create these narratives that just aren't there. So I kind of went with the fact that, hey, you know what? You have all this outside noise and you're trying to bring together a league and a group of 140 women as of yesterday. I think it's 141 now because the Aces signed Tiffany Hayes today. But so, yeah, I went that route and tried to just tie everything together as best as possible. And, you know, every time I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about it. You know what? It's Public Enemy. Bring the noise.
What has been the most surprising thing? Because, again, I think that there's been some pushback on the media trying to pit the veteran players against the younger players. I mean, most, you know, the biggest name is Caitlin Clark. But this idea that the vets don't appreciate the younger players, it's not true. And we've talked about this on the show. You just got to pay your dues. And so, like, it's not uncommon for a vet to say, hey, like, listen, she may turn out to be one of the best players of all time, but like, let her, you know, play a couple of games first. I mean, what's been the most surprising thing so far in terms of what you've read and seen from around the country? And again, as you've mentioned, you've been covering this league for a long time. A lot of people, this is their first time covering the league.
Well, you know, from the inside looking out, you know, what I've noticed is the sensitivity with everything that this, the players, you know, their thought process. I mean, any little thing can trigger them. So the one thing is they wanted more exposure. They wanted to be covered, you know, and treated with more respect. They wanted to sort of be looked at like you're, you know, hey, cover us like you cover the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, right? NHL. We are one of the big five. So I do know that there's a bit of a sensitivity there. They do not like, you know, they certainly don't like any negative connotation. They're very sensitive to it. Perfect example. Somebody quote tweeted something on my Twitter X whatever timeline saying, yeah, well, Caitlin can continue to carry the league. And I quote tweeted and I said, this is exactly in capitals what Tasha Cloud was pointing out last night. Caitlin Clark is not carrying the league. It's 140 women that are carrying the league, including Breanna Stewart and Asia Wilson, who are doing it before she got there. I think by saying including, or by saying no, Caitlin Clark's not carrying the league, Tosh took offense to my tweet and replied and said, no, that's not what I was saying, Willie. What I was saying is that including Caitlin, we're doing it together. But that's what my tweet said.
Mm-hmm.
It's just those little – and she finished her tweet by saying wording matters.
Yes.
So I replied to it and I said, you're right. Could have been worded better. My apologies. I understand. And she said, so maybe delete and retweet. Arash, I've only deleted two tweets okay. by request in the history of being on Twitter since 2012, I've only deleted two tweets by request. I've deleted tweets before. Like sometimes I accidentally retweet something or I put something out and then I update it and whatever. But the fact of the matter is, and I texted with her afterwards and she was like, yeah, that kind of pissed me off, blah, 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 blah. And I get it. That's mm-hmm. that's fine. But they're very sensitive, Arash. They're very sensitive. So from the inside looking out, from the player standpoint, all this notoriety and this new publicity, if you will, is to a degree rubbing them wrong in some ways, no matter which way you have to have negative attention. Mm-hmm. If they think that they're just going to get all this added exposure and it's going to be positive, they're sadly mistaken. What they have to come to realize is bad news is good news. Good news is good news. All news is exposure. And Nafisa Collier even said it in my story. She said specifically, she said, I'm not necessarily too mad about it because it's what we need. Right. We need the villains. We need those narratives created. We need to have different angles. So she was kind of accepting of it. from the outside looking in, I am still surprised at the people that are coming at Caitlin Clark. Like, give this girl a rest. I just had an email conversation back and forth with the PR director for the Indiana Fever. There was a mix-up yesterday with their Zoom, post-game Zoom, and he had the wrong link in there. Mm. But the press conference went off as scheduled. Now, here's the thing. I was sitting there thinking to myself, why is it so delayed? What's going on? Are they having a post-game meeting? Is Christy Sides being put aside, brought aside by the GM? Like, what's going on? Now, normal media members like us, right, we're like thinking, okay, let's just wait. Let's just have patience. Don't tweet anything out. But you got those bloggers, those clickbait people, the people that just, you know, that want to get a credential. So they might have put something out there. Like, what's going on? Why is it delayed? Mm-hmm. So there are people that are still coming at Caitlin Clark and the Fever and Christy Sides that I can only imagine. I watched Christy Sides' press conference. Once they loaded it and Ryan put out an apology, I went and looked up the press conference. Man, Christy Sides is – you're starting to feel sorry for her because it's like – you know, I tweeted this out. They've had a game once every 1.8 days. They're not even getting an average of a day off.
That's crazy.
So not even one every 2 days, Arash. One every 1.8 days. They've traveled over 7,400 miles. I punched it in. There's an airplane calculator you can find on the website. You just punch it from here to here to here to here to here. In terms of air miles, over 7,400 miles. With the games that they play, 9 games in 17 days, that is insane. When I released that story yesterday and talked about the standings in the early part of May, or in the month of May last year, some teams had only played 3 games. So, yeah, the Indiana Fever played 9 games, 17 days. We're now in the 18th day. This is wild. And a lot of that has to do with the Olympics. They're trying to crunch things in. You got the All-Star weekend and then the Olympics. So they're trying to get a lot of games in right now. But if you look at some of the team's travel schedule compared to the Aces, who are playing their 6th game tonight and only their 2nd on the road, again, insane.
I know the league wanted to highlight, and again, there's we don't have to dance around the popularity of Caitlin Clark, but I think the league did her a disservice clearly, and the team a disservice. Again, to your point, New York, Los Angeles, Seattle, Connecticut, Vegas. I mean, they were all over the country, Willie. Has there been any talk about that? Again, this wasn't expected to be a good team or a playoff team. But I think even if you were to put Vegas or a contending team through that type of start to the season, they would struggle. And again, to your point, you know, no time to rest, no time to practice. And you're talking about collegiate players just coming off of the Final Four. I mean, what have been some of the concern maybe around the league? Like, clearly they wanted to highlight Caitlin Clark, but this should not happen again in the future.
I don't know how much that there is that they can do about it, right? You're asking me about so I'm clear. You're asking me about the as far as coming out of the draft, out of the season, into the draft and into the training camp?
So you know, this is a problem for the Fever, but if I'm just a GM around the league, I mean, this should be something that the rest of the teams around the league say, "Hey, listen, we get that the Fever is not going to be a contending team, but no team should be put through the gauntlet that they were." Now, again, thankfully, prior to their first game of the season, they approved charter travel. So they, so that part of it, I don't know even how the start of the season would have been possible on commercial travel, right. But at least they got charter. But listen, if I'm, you know, the Fever should be upset and the Fever should be saying this isn't right. But even like opposing teams should be saying, listen, we get that you wanted to highlight this player in this team, but no team should be put through the gauntlet that the Fever were to begin that season. So again, a unique situation, but like I you would not have, to your point, there's no team that would be put through this again. You know, maybe the NBA, but
again, you have to chalk it up to the Olympics, but no, the Fever the Fever definitely have been thrown to the wolves. And you know, let me just answer the very first thing you said. Not as if the Fever were going to be a contender. No, they would have been a playoff. In my opinion, if they would have had a month to prepare instead of 2 weeks out of the draft, out of it, you know, training camp starts, and then all of a sudden, boom, 2 weeks, and then they're playing. Christy Sides, Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston, Lexi Hull, Nalissa Smith, they've all said it. We don't have time to practice. I just said it, right? They're playing once every 1.8 days. That means that they're playing a game, and then for 0.8 days in terms of time-wise, hour, they got to sleep, they got to get treatment, they got to get recovery. When do they have time to practice what is not working in the game? When does Christy Sides have time to look at a, you know, what's going on with the game, with the game, the schematics of their team?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she hasn't really had time to do all that. So what they're doing is they're having to get up and have a walkthrough. Look at their road trip here. They had a day off. They played in Seattle, one day off, played in L.A., played in Vegas, went home, played the next. They had 2 days off, then they got to play. So maybe they had a couple of days in between certain games. I tweeted this out, the actual schedule.
Yeah.
There's only been once or twice where there's been 2 days between games. If you have 1 day in between, you're just doing a walkthrough. Yeah. They have to get, like, again, you have to get treatment and recovery. Personally, when you have a roster that they had coming back with the leading scorer in Kelsey Mitchell, Nalissa Smith, right? Erica Wheeler, who was the all-star MVP here in Vegas in 2019. When you have the players that they had and you add players like Caitlin Clark to the mix, I think that they should be better than 1-7, mm-hmm. but I don't think that they should be better than 1-7, meaning, no, they should have won these games. What's Christy Sides doing? No, if they had the schedule like maybe what the Aces had, 4 straight home games and then 2 on the road, they're, right now the Aces have played 5 games. They're playing their 6th tonight. The yeah, Fever have played 9. So in an 18-day span, right, or in an 18-day span, the Aces have played, starting today, have played 5. The Fever have played 9. That's crazy. And the Aces are just playing their 2nd road game. So it's 100% been unfair. They've 100% been thrown into the gauntlet because of TV and marketing and agreements and broadcasting agreements and Caitlin Clark. But yeah. You know, and again, you're crunching all these games into the Olympics. Now, their schedule will slow down eventually. I think Christy said last night in a very emotional press conference that, you know, with one game, I think there's one more game, and then they're going to have some time off. They'll be able to catch their breath. And on top of it, they were in 2 or 3 games. Yeah. They were in the game against Connecticut. They were in the game against Seattle. You know what I mean? They battled against Los Angeles before, you know. So, They beat
LA, it was a very close loss.
So, you know, then they come out here for the back to back, and Vegas is coming off a loss against Phoenix. So, I mean, they were kind of doomed there. But yeah, it's not a good situation. I think you've given me my Sunday column in that. Hey, let's not only let's leave Caitlin Clark alone, but let's leave Christy Sides alone. She hasn't had time to do her job.
100%. Wanted to peel back the curtain, and you do such an amazing job of covering the league. And a part of that is because the league, the WNBA in particular, is perhaps one of the last leagues to really embrace Zoom. Again, during the pandemic, all the teams in the leagues had to do it. Willie, you cover every league, the NFL, the NHL, the NBA, college, whatever. Speak to the WNBA and them doing a good job of allowing, again, there's not a big travel budget just in general in journalism, but, you know, how have they done a good job of, again, covering, allowing you guys to cover the league?
Oh, it's better than, well, I don't get anything from the Major League Baseball. I don't get anything from the NBA, even though I have an account, a media account in the NBA. Hockey I get, and NFL, obviously. When it comes to the WNBA, I'm on all 12 email lists, and they give you the practice. They give you once a week. They give you the schedule for the next week. Their media availability. You have to RSVP 24 hours before if you want to go into any of the Zooms. They will make two or three of the practices available, post-practice Zooms. The pregame, there's a shoot-around, and if you're at the game or in the arena, then you can get it. You can get in-game. You have to request a one-on-one shoot-around or pregame. You can do a Zoom with the coach. Caitlin Clark has been making herself available for the Zoom session as well. Wow. And then post-game, you'll get an email about 2 minutes before the end of the game that will tell you the coach will be available with these two players. You always know that it's going to be two players, but it's not toward the end of the game. So it's phenomenal because it's allowed me to write remotely.
Yeah. Willie, I want to close out on this. You've done an amazing job talking about your mental health journey, but also telling the stories about other players. You've written about that at WGRamirez.com. If you could touch on that again, with the added exposure and limelight and spotlight, A lot of players are dealing with things that they have not before. If you could touch on that, please.
Yeah, last week I really spoke to a lot of the players, and Nika Mule had made some comments about her hold for her visa. And so I was very, taken aback by that, because she had said, that when she was raised in Croatia, you don't bring up mental health. You are made to feel ashamed by your mental health. So I spoke to that. I asked Aaliyah Boston and Caitlin Clark in a press conference, hey, how are you doing? Has anybody asked you how you're doing? Everybody's asking you about the team and the gelling and the chemistry and the this and the shooting. And how are you guys doing? So I talked to them. So I had what I did, Arash, most features, especially if I do a feature. We did a great feature on Chelsea Gray earlier this season for Sporting Tribune, got some great hits. They're going to come in around 1,000 to 1,200 words. This ended up stretching to 3,000 words. I broke it up into sections, so it's almost like four stories within one, broken up with subsections and subheaders. And it has Nika Mule. It has Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston. It has the veterans and coaches talking about how the league has sort of progressed with what's available to them. Diana Taurasi spoke. Kayla McBride on her initiatives for mental health. And then I finished it up with a colleague of ours, Ari Chambers, as a media member with her mental health. So go check that out at WGRamirez.com. Power rankings come out on Monday. My notes package around the league. And then a big feature, last week's feature on mental health, this week's feature, basically on the WNBA, public enemy number one.
I love it. Listen, I mean, if you have not checked it out already, WGRamirez.com, it's free, no paywall. Although, listen, if you like the content, we got to figure out a way to have like a little tip jar. KevinIoli.com has a little tip jar on there, so we got to get one. You're killing it, my friend. You've done such an amazing job covering the league. We'll have you back on next week. Looking forward to what you got for the Sporting Tribune. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by Grant Mona talking about the NBA Finals. We finally got it. Boston, Dallas. Who you got when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline, 310-400-0340. All right, let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona, Robert Westerman. First time having you on the show, but Grant, wanted to start with you. I mean, we kind of already previewed the NBA Finals because we thought it would be Mavericks Celtics. I think once the Timberwolves found a way to win game four, we kind of played this thing out in our heads. We said, well, listen, Timberwolves won game four. They got game five back at their home court. They're a very good road team, so maybe there's a chance they can win game six. And we can kind of play it out, not knowing that the Timberwolves just went back home to like lay down, getting blown out, 20 points in the first half, darn near 30 points in the second half. It was a blowout. I mean, in front of your home crowd, you would have much rather had that performance on the road and then, you know, not put your home fans through that. Grant, your thoughts on how that game five, a gentleman's sweep if we've ever seen one play out.
Yeah, it was over at halftime. And the big reason why is because Luka Doncic played like the superstar that he is. And he has basically this entire series. And there's a reason why both of the last two series went six and could have went seven, is because Luka wasn't playing at his peak potential. Now, you can look at it and say Minnesota didn't play great on offense, which they didn't. Minnesota didn't go after loose balls the way Dallas did. It looked like Dallas was the one down 3-1, not Minnesota, the way they were playing. And the intensity that they showed from the opening tip was just something that I did not expect. I expected Minnesota to come. I mean, they tied it at 18-18, and then I think Dallas went on a 22-1 run after that. So it really put the game out of hand early. And whenever you do that on the road, in an environment like Minnesota, and in any environment in the playoffs, it takes the crowd out of it. And that's the number one thing that you can get from a first half performance like that. When you take the crowd out of it, when you take the other team's superstars out of it, because Anthony Edwards did not do much in the first half, Karl Anthony Towns did not do much in the first half. When you take those two out of it, and this is what why I said they won game four, Minnesota, is because those two guys played better than Luka and Kyrie. And then in this one, again, we saw that Kyrie and Luka just outplayed those two by a large margin. Arash, Kyrie and Luka scored 44 points together in the first half. The entirety of the Minnesota Timberwolves had 40 points. They both outscored the Timberwolves by themselves. So that right there, I mean, it reminded me a lot of Game 7 when the Suns and Mavs played a few years back, yeah, which advanced the Mavs to the Western Conference Finals. It was just a massacre in that Game 7 when it was they were up by 40, even 50 at times in that game. It felt a lot like that. And you know, for Minnesota, there's a lot of questions now in the offseason. Obviously, a very disappointing end to their season. But for Dallas, I mean, if you have Luka Doncic playing like this with that kind of tenacity going into the finals, I mean, we have to say that he's the best player right now going into that series, even with a series with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Kristaps Porzingis, Drew Holiday. You're going to have to say that he's the best player out of those. So, you know, usually the best player in the series wins, so I'm not going to say that the Mavericks are going to win because I still think the Celtics have the upper hand. But, man, what a disappointment for Minnesota on their home floor. Like you mentioned, what if they probably would rather just get swept as opposed to getting embarrassed on their home floor. So a great win for Dallas. It's going to be an amazing finals, but a lot of disappointment for Minnesota on their home floor.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Like, when you look at their playoffs up until this Western Conference Finals, where they sweep through the first round, they beat Denver. They beat them three times on their home floor. They beat them, games one and games two. Denver at that point was the favorite to repeat as champions, and then they win that game seven on the road in Denver, coming back from 20 points down. I mean, they at that point they looked like the championship pick to me, and then to essentially get swept. Robert, the Dallas team has progressively grown in the postseason. You go back to that first round series against the Clippers where they get blown out in game one. And I still believe, that if we say this every year, that if Kawhi was healthy, maybe the Clippers can find a way to beat Dallas. But they've really grown during this postseason to now looking like, I think it's going to be a fantastic finals. What are your thoughts as Dallas goes to the finals? What change do you give them against the Celtics?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Arash. I appreciate it. Absolutely. Dallas has grown since they played the Clippers. And I think you got to hand it to Dallas's front office and Jason Kidd. I think he's made a lot of great decisions, especially bringing on Gafford and PJ Washington. I mean, they've become essential role players. And we saw in that series against the Oklahoma City Thunder, PJ Washington led Dallas in three of those games, and he was very clutch. He's able to step on and hit threes. He's very aggressive on the boards. And that's, as Grant said, that's one thing that we saw in this most recent series against the Timberwolves, is that Dallas just kind of seemed to want it more at times, especially in rebounding, as Grant said, loose balls. They kind of just got out in transition quicker. And obviously, you know, the big storyline is Doncic and Irving versus Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns. And, you know, regardless of what the Timberwolves are going to do with Cat over the offseason, and obviously the Timberwolves are kind of dealing with some ownership issues during the offseason as well. You know, that's kind of the storyline, but these essential role players have become huge. And Derek Lively, the rookie, he's been huge as well. Derek Jones is another player that has just been doing phenomenal. And I think that might be what allows the Mavericks to overcome the Celtics. You know, we're obviously going to see a repeated storyline in terms of those big matchups where it's Tatum and Brown versus Irving and Doncic. But I think these role players will become essential. And, you know, for the Celtics, you've got guys like Sam Hauser that, you know, he's just a pure three-point shooter. Guys like him are stepping up, and Peyton Pritchard's another guy that comes to mind. But I think those role players are going to be what Dallas is going to need to really emphasize if they're going to want to win these NBA finals.
No doubt about that. One of the things, again, there's, and I've joked about this with Grant. I mean, obviously anyone who's a Lakers fan is going to be pulling for the Mavericks. They're going to be the biggest fans of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. But it's hard for me to look at that sideline and not see Jason Kidd and Jared Dudley, two, you know, key role players, role coaches, however you want to say. I mean, Jason Kidd was an assistant coach under Frank Vogel in 2020 when the Lakers won the championship. And Jared Dudley was one of those, don't look at the stats, I mean, just a really great glue guy, a really great guy in the locker room, like a LeBron guy that when they didn't bring him back, it was one of those things where I was like, man, like, I know he's not going to be a role player in terms of putting up stats, but like, you couldn't bring him back as a 12th man. The thing about Jason Kidd was he was brought on because it was such a unique situation where they talked to both Vogel and Kidd for the job. And they basically gave the job to Vogel and asked Kidd if he wants to be Vogel's assistant, despite the fact that they had no prior experience together. It was very odd. Now, looking back on it, Grant, I'm going to start with you. And again, hindsight is 2020, and who knows with the mess that the Lakers are, if this would have even worked out for him. I mean, but like, did the Lakers make a mistake? I mean, like could they have? And by the way, during that process, Grant, Ty Lue was up for the job. Jason Kidd was up for the job. Frank Vogel was up for the job. And they basically gave the job to the one guy who was like, yes, you could pick my assistants for me. Did the Lakers drop the ball?
No, they didn't drop the ball. They won a championship with Frank Vogel, and he was one of the better defensive coaches in the NBA, still is. I mean, you know, the Phoenix Suns didn't have a great defense, but it's really not his fault. I don't even think he should have been fired, honestly. It really wasn't his fault with the roster that he was given. He was pushing for a point guard. They never got him one. But in terms of the Lakers' job, you never knew that Jason Kidd was going to be this fantastic as a head coach. I mean, look at his prior head coaching experiences. With the Milwaukee Bucks, I mean, he didn't really do much. I know that they got to the playoffs year in and year out, but, you know, he was famous, honestly, for dropping a cup of ice on the floor to get a timeout. So, like, there's a lot of things that you can look at Jason Kidd in his prior experience and say, okay, well, he didn't really do that great of a job, and there's a reason why he was out of a job for so long as a head coach. So the Lakers didn't drop the ball on this one. And look, Jared Dudley was a great role player. We didn't know that he wanted to get into coaching immediately after his career. Like, I don't think anybody knew that. So for them to line it up and do it in Dallas, I think that was just what happened at the time. It's really not the fault of the Lakers. Like, they made the right hire in Frank Vogel, and it paid dividends. They won a championship in the first year that he was there. So I'm not going to say that it was their fault or they dropped the ball, but I will say that, you know, right now it's an important time for the Lakers, right? Because you have these guys that were once on either your team or on your coaching staff that are now doing well. You kind of have to look inside and say, hey, look, we had some guys that we could have maybe elevated. We had some coaches that we could have elevated. Now, can you get a guy like Rajon Rondo to come join the staff? I'm not sure. Yeah. Maybe that's why they're looking into him, why there's been reports of his name being thrown out there. I'm not really sure. But if you're the Lakers, it's not your fault. It's just that these guys ended up on the right team, the right organization with the right players, the right support staff, and they're doing well. And you just got to tip your hat. See, it's not always going to work out. You're not always going to get that home run higher. Yeah. You're not always going to have the perfect situation. So, I'm not going to fault them for that. It's just a great job by Dallas. Like Robert said, I mean, their front office deserves a lot of kudos.
Yeah. And by the way, another connection to the Lakers, Nico was a guy that I knew for years as like Kobe's guy. Whenever I would see Kobe, I would see him. And so great to see him in that role. Robert, I guess two-part question. I mean, your thoughts on the job that Jason Kidd has done. Amazing that the last time that the Dallas Mavericks got to the finals and won a championship, he was their point guard. Now they return with him as the coach. And the Lakers right now, they are looking for a new coach. It looks like it could be J.J. Redick, but we don't know that for sure. I guess two-part, your thoughts on Kidd, and what do you think the Lakers should do for their next head coach?
Yeah, I think with Jason Kidd, obviously I mentioned those mid-season decisions and guys they brought in. But I also, I think Grant made a good point in the fact that a lot of the time it's really just about the timing. I mean, it's, the right players, the right coaches, the right front office, not having issues with ownership, that sort of thing. It all is kind of just a culmination of everything. And I think, again, like I said, with Jason Kidd, I think these mid-season decisions were really the biggest thing. But I also think he's done a phenomenal job finding the right balance between Doncic and Irving. Sometimes when you get these players that really want to have, the central role on the team, and, you could put Doncic and Irving on any team and they could be the main guy. As we kind of saw with Cleveland and Donovan Mitchell, he was their guy. Especially when they won game two against Boston, that was pretty much all him. And obviously they had contributions from other guys and some step ups, but essentially Donovan Mitchell was the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, with what happened with Bickerstaff, I'm a little surprised in that regard, but back to the Mavericks and Jason Kidd, I think he's just done a phenomenal job finding that balance between the two. And then with the Lakers, I think, this is actually a pretty big offseason for them, because this coaching decision is actually very important, especially, in regards to what they want to do with that 17th overall pick and whether they want to take LeBron James' son. If they want to keep LeBron, that might be something they have to take into account. I think regardless of, to be honest, I would be very surprised if LeBron does not finish his career in LA just because he loves the city and I think the city is his. But, I think that is important. And, Redick and LeBron, I know, have a bit of a close relationship because of some podcasts they've been doing and that sort of thing. But I think, in terms of who they're looking at, they're looking at Redick and they're looking at Borrego from the Pelicans and a couple other guys. But yeah, I think that the coaching decision is certainly important if they want to retain LeBron.
Robert, real quick, I mean, was Bronny, in his one season with USC, was he someone that, your thoughts on Bronny James, I guess? I mean, again, he didn't really contribute much, but did you ever see him around campus, class, or anything like that?
I actually never saw him around campus. I saw Caleb Williams more than Bronny James, but no, I mean, I did watch him against Arizona, which was, by far the best Pac-12 team this past year. And I saw Bronny, obviously LeBron was there on courtside, but I saw Bronny play in what was his best game of the year against Arizona to end the year. And I thought USC was going to go on to win the Pac-12 tournament, but I was dead wrong there. Bronny was, in my opinion, he was very solid that game. I remember he had some good shots. He was getting out in transition, showing that athleticism, dunking the ball. But I think Bronny has a lot of room for improvement. I think he's going to be a tremendous defensive player just because he's got that quickness. He's got that speed, that athleticism, like I mentioned. But I think there's a lot of room for improvement. And I think he needs the time to develop. And, whether that's going to be an NBA team taking him to the G League and letting him develop there, or if he's going to withdraw, which I don't see happening. And I know, I've been seeing mock drafts with him late first round, but to be honest, I don't see him going in the first round, maybe early to late second round pick somewhere in there, but I don't see him being a first round pick. I just don't think he's quite ready. And I think all the pressure that's being put on him, because obviously he's LeBron James' son, I think that is a big factor to play. Not to mention, he's still recovering from cardiac arrest that he had 100%. The offseason before USC. So that's something we have to take into account as well. He missed a lot of the offseason, which is probably where he's going to develop a lot.
Well, amazing that they're turning, you know, listen, he's a clutch client, he's LeBron's son, but the fact that they're turning down possible workouts with teams, I mean, it's very clear where he's going to go. You know, is he going to go to the Suns? Is he going to go to the Lakers? I don't know. Grant, I go to you for all my breaking news about the Intuit Dome. I got to be honest with you. I'm getting excited about it. I'm getting excited about the wall. I think I would surprise a lot of people, but I'm like, I'm a basketball fan and I love the concept of like being, and again, when I talked to Steve Ballmer about this pre-pandemic, this was like 2019, and he told me that they were traveling the country and I said, what stadiums, what arenas? And he said, to be honest, like the places that are really intriguing to me was the Utah Jazz. And the Utah Jazz, the reason that that arena is one of the best home courts is the fans are right on top of you and the wall has that feel. And again, they put the court down again for a photo shoot. Grant, I'm pumped. I mean, the first few events are going to be concerts, so we're not going to really see it as a basketball arena until October, but we got concerts this summer. Just the thoughts on Intuit Dome, my friend.
I am so. I don't know how many so's I can put before excited. Just to have your own arena as a Clipper fan, to have a state-of-the-art design, a modern arena, a place that's right across from SoFi Stadium, which I absolutely love and I will be going to many times this year. But, you know, it, just in terms of what we've seen, I mean, it's shaping up to be one of the best fan experiences in the NBA. Like you mentioned, the wall, we finally saw the first photo from the court looking at the wall, like what it's going to look like as a player, as a coach, as somebody that sits courtside. And it's just, it looks great. You're going to be really close to the action. Not just that, but just the state-of-the-art stuff that they're doing. I mean, dynamic LEDs at every seat. I don't know. I'm not really sure if that's going to be on every seat in a lower bowl, but it looks like it will be on every seat in the upper bowl, which is pretty cool. So you can do a lot of different concepts with that. The court design looks incredible and looks better every time I see it. I love this redesign. I am going to be buying a ton of merch for this new redesign. I'm going to be representing the colors a lot. That's honestly probably the biggest thing for me. I actually like the redesign more than I'm going to like the arena. I just think they needed it. They needed new colors. They needed a new fresh design, and they nailed it. They absolutely hit it out of the park with their redesign. So I'm excited to see what comes out of that. But this arena, I am counting down the days until I see Clipper players on the floor. Not just that, but even in the training facility, the logo that they have in at center court, the training facility, looks great as well. It's going to be probably the central basketball arena. I mean, you're going to have training facilities, outdoor courts, shopping malls, restaurants outside. It's going to be a really fun little hub for not just for Clipper fans, but for basketball fans. So I'm glad that Steve Ballmer mentioned that. Like he said, this is for basketball fans. Like it's not just for, you know, to get money. It's not just for revenue. Like we wanted to build this for basketball. And I'm just so excited to see it shape into that.
Yeah, listen, I mean, you too will be a big part of our Clippers coverage this upcoming season. And as we kind of get ready for the draft and the summer league and the opening of up of Intuit Dome. By the way, I'm going to get a preview tonight of Clipped, that new show on Hulu. So I'll tell you both how it goes. Again, I mean, I was very much, that was my life. And I think I told you, Trent, I mean, I was on the Clippers beat at that time. I was in San Francisco at a Giants game when I got the text about the TMZ clip. And I said, well, he said this stuff before, but it's in there like, no, like they had like an audio recording. And so kind of interested to see how that movie goes. So I'll have you both on, but just very excited. Again, Hawaii Sports Radio Network, the home of the Clippers in Hawaii. Fingers crossed that they have like a preseason game out there as part of training camp. I know Grant and Robert will probably want to go out there for that. So listen, guys, this is the first of many times we'll be talking about the Clippers on this show as Grant continues to break news on the Intuit Dome. So let's leave it there for now. Amazing job, guys. That is all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
to live and die in LA. This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.